where the at the two dots, last thing we saw was why the sages created a prohibition on milk, and the fear is because the non-Jews may put non-kosher milk into the bucket of the cow milk. They might put some pig milk or cow milk. So the Gemara says, so why don't you just try to make some cheese out of it? And if you can make cheese out of this bucket, then you know that this is cow milk, because other milks wouldn't be able to become cheese. So the Gemara answered, there are, even if you're able to make some cheese, we know that some of the milk is not going to become cheese. So we might think that the non-kosher milk was there in that amount that didn't become cheese. Or even if you want to make all of the, or let's say you didn't make all of it cheese, so maybe the non-kosher milk is in the part that's left over. And even if you want to make the whole thing cheese, within the cheese, there's going to be some of it that's still moist, some liquids, and that liquid may have the non-kosher milk in it. So that's why you can't make a test with cheese, and therefore milk of the non-Jews was prohibited. And the Mishnah said another thing that we're not allowed to eat of the non-Jews, but we could get benefit from, is the bread of the non-Jews, va'pas, and the bread. So Rav Kahana said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Im Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Mishnah said, after bread, oil. And the Mishnah said, in regards to oil, Rebbe and his Bezdin permitted the oil. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, Im Rabbi Yochanan, even though oil was permitted by a later Bezdin, Paslo hutra bebezdin. Bread was never permitted by a bezdin. So that's an interesting language. It didn't say bread was never permitted. It said bread was never permitted by a bezdin. Machlal dikaman deshari. That shows you that while bezdin didn't permit bread, there were those who permitted bread. There was a person who permitted bread. So Gemara says, and that's in fact the case. Tachias Rav Dimi Amaron. Rav Dimi came from Bavel. He taught, Pamachas Yatza Rebbe Lasada. One time Rebbe, the author of the Mishnayos, went out to a field. And a Gentile brought before him a big baked bread. It had been very, very large loaf. It weighed a sa'ah. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Kamanoa Pasu, how wonderful is this bread? Maro Chacham Laosra. Why did the sages prohibit such a thing? What do you mean? Maro Chachamim? Why did the sages prohibit such a thing? Mishum Chasnos. They prohibited the bread of the non-Jews to keep us from becoming too friendly with the non-Jews, to keep us from intermarriage. Ela Maro Chacham Loser Besada. So he was asking, why would the sages have permitted such a thing out in the field? If you're eating in the field, it's just a snack. It's only just a snack. It's not going to lead to too much fraternalization and Echas V'Shalom, heaven forbid, intermarriage. So Kisvurna Hiti Rebbe Pas. So people thought that what that meant was that Rebbe was permitting the bread of the non-Jews in the field. Lohi, that's really not a correct understanding of the story. Rebbe Lohiti is a pas. Rebbe wasn't permitting the bread. He was just wondering. I don't understand why it's prohibited. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That Rav Kahana was saying, Bezdin never permitted the bread. There are people who thought that there was a license to eat the bread of the non-Jews, but they were mistaken. Rav Yosef, Yitamer Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar, Rav Yosef, some say what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, Lo kacha yamais, that's not what happened. Ela Amru, rather they said, Pamachas halach Rebbe l'makom echad v'ra pas dachuk l'talmidim. Rebbe once went to a place and he saw that the students, the yeshiva students, didn't have much bread, they didn't have what to eat. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, "In kan palter, there's no baker here to make bread for them." Kusvurna amlo mar le palter over kochavim. Everybody thought he was saying we should have a non-Jewish baker bake the bread. In other words, he's permitting some non-Jewish bread if it's made by a baker. Vehulo amar le palter Yisrael. Again, it was a mistake. He wasn't saying that the non-Jewish bread was okay. He was saying that a Jewish baker could come and bake the bread.
What's the question with that? What's the Jewish baker?
I guess the word palter would have implied a non-Jewish baker. Amr Rebchelba, Rebchelba said, Afilu ma'an da'amar palter over kochavim. Now even that thought that what Rebbe meant was that let's bring a non-Jewish baker. He could bake the bread. La'amar ne'leka palter Yisrael. Rebbe was only permitting a non-Jewish baker to bake all the bread and the Jews could eat it if there was no Jew around to be a baker. Where you have a Jewish bakery, lo, then Rebbe was never permitting the non-Jew to be the one baking the bread. And even according to that view, that Rebbe was permitting the non-Jewish baker to bake bread, that would have meant to bake the bread and eat it out in the field, where again, as we said, there's less of a likelihood of fraternalization happening. I will be here, but that it should be eaten in the city. Lo, Rebbe also was agreeing that it shouldn't be allowed. Shum chasnus, because of the fear of leading to intermarriage.
So only if there is no Jewish baker is allowed. If there is a Jewish baker,
yeah.
Is it?
Now, Ivu was one of the Amoraim. Havamanakis vachil pas. He was biting and eating bread baked by non-Jews. Abe Mitzri on the borders between the fields. Amulu Rav Vitim Rav Nachmar Yitzchak. So Rava said to him, some say it's Rav Nachmar Yitzchak who said to him, Lo Tish, said to them, not to him, but he said to them, Lo Tishto Bahadi Da Ivu, stop talking with Ivu. In other words, stop quoting his halachic lessons. The Ka'acha Lachma Da Armai, he eats the non-Jewish bread, he's therefore no longer a reliable source for halacha. The third thing the Mishnah said that was prohibited by the sages that we should eat was we shouldn't eat their olive oil. But then the Mishnah says that Rebbe and his Bezdin permitted it. Vashemen shalahem. And their olive oil. Shemen, what's the problem with olive oil? Rav Amar, Rav said, Daniel gazer olive. It was the prophet Daniel who made a decree that Jews can't eat the olive oil made by the Gentiles. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said the issue was, Lifasan shel kelim tmeim osrasa. When they make their olive oil, they use their utensils, and their utensils have all sorts of impure oil in it. So the oil becomes impure. Marcy, 1 second. According to Shmuel, why is that such a big deal? That impurity happens. I mean, most of us are non-Kohanim. We can eat things that are impure. Most of us don't have to be careful to maintain purity in our foods. So rather the issue is not so much because of the impure oil, making this oil impure. Ella's lifasan shel kelim osrasan. The drippings of the utensils makes this oil prohibited because in the utensils they have fats that are not kosher, fats of pig, fats of unkosher animals, lard, and some of those fats are going to get out from the utensils into the olive oil. So the olive oil is not kosher. Amar Leh Shmuel Rav. So Shmuel said to Rav, Bishmalidi, I understand, it's all good according to what I say. Tamina, that I say that the reason why the sages prohibited the oil is that Slifasan Shalkela Masur and Osrasan, because there's secretions of non-kosher tastes going into the oil from the utensils that they're using. I knew now we can understand if the Yasur of Yitzhak Bar Shmuel Bar Marat of Yamar. The one of Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta came and said, Darash Reb Simlai bin Etzivin, Reb Simlai taught in Etzivin, Shemen, the olive oil of the non-Jews, Reb Yehuda Bezdino, Nimnu Alavitiru, Reb Yehuda Nasi and his Bezdin, took a vote on it and they permitted it. Kasavar, because what's going on? Reb Yehuda Nasi is teaching us, No Saint Tam Lufgam, that if you have a non-kosher taste, but the non-kosher taste makes the food that it's being added to taste worse, mutter, then it's allowed. So that's what's going on. So let's say you had non-kosher items go into the walls of a pot, and then you wait 24 hours. Then you cook from that pot. So 24 hours, tastes that are in walls for 24 hours don't add anything good to what they're going into. They go in, but it's nothing good. It makes it worse. But that's permissible. So that's what's going on here, that no sin tam lufkam, according to Yehuda Hanasi, is permissible. The whole problem was non-kosher tastes going into the oil, but the tastes are all old tastes. They're no sin tam lufkam. And since he holds no sin tam lufkam is permitted, he permitted the oil.
Specifically by oil,
also
back when we learned about wine and other things.
By wine too, that's right. El Lidach, but according to you, the Amrit Daniel Gazer Olive, that the prophet Daniel made a decree, don't use their olive oil, presumably because of intermarriage concerns. So, Daniel Gazer, if Daniel makes a decree, Asa Reb Yehuda Hanasi Mevatalei, can Reb Yehuda Hanasi come and annul a decree of the prophet Daniel 500 years later? Well, it's not, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Ein bezdin yachal avatal divrei bezdin chavero. Elim kein gadolei menu b'chachmo v'minyin. A court cannot annul a ruling of an earlier court unless it's greater than the first court, both in scholarship and in number. Now, you can't get greater in scholarship than Daniel. We are less in scholarship than the earlier generations. We can't say that the later generation was greater in scholarship and the prophet Daniel. So how's that even possible? Amar le, so Rav said back to Shmuel, Simlai Luda Kamarta, you're asking me a question from Reb Simlai, who said this in Netzivin, who lived in Lud. Shani Ludai, the rabbis who live in Lud are different. The Mezalzalu, they don't give respect to the earlier rabbis. They don't give respect to the decrees of the rabbis. So he's going to say, so really there was a decree, but he's going to say, oh, a Bezdin came and voted to overturn it, because he doesn't respect earlier decrees. Amar le, so Shmuel said back, Eshlach le, should I tell Reb Simlai what you say about him? That as a Luda'i, he doesn't respect rabbinic law. Ichsef. So Rav was embarrassed that he had rushed to be so critical about Reb Simlai. Amar Rav, Rav said, Imheim, if Reb Yehuda Hanasi and his Bezdin, who permitted the olive oil, Lor Darshu, if they didn't interpret this pasuk, that Daniel created a decree, but they thought it was some other Bezdin that made a decree because of non-kosher taste, and that's what they were permitting because they said the tastes are no longer beneficial. Anan lo darshina. Would we not interpret the pasuk? Vaksiv, but the pasuk says, Vayasam Daniel alibo. Daniel put it to his heart. Asher lo yiskael. He wouldn't make himself dirty. The pas bagamelech in the bread of the king. Uviyein mishtav, and with the wine at his parties. So v'shtei mishto sakos medaber, says wine of his parties, or the wine of his drinking. So two parties, echad mishtei yayin, both not to drink wine, v'echad mishtei shemen, not to drink oil. So you see in the pasuk that Daniel prohibited drinking the oil of the non-Jews. So Rav Savar, just 1 second, Rav Savar alibo sam, Rav holds, Daniel put it into his own heart, and therefore l'chol Yisrael hora, he taught it to the rest of the Jews. Shmuel Savar, Shmuel was saying that it's not coming from Daniel. So Shmuel's of the opinion, alibo sam, on his own heart he put it. But l'chol Yisrael hora, but to the rest, it was his own personal practice not to eat the olive oil. But he didn't tell that to all the other Jews. So all the other Jews, he didn't tell them they couldn't eat olive oil. There was a later Bezdin that said, don't eat the olive oil of the non-Jews because of non-kosher tastes. And that's why it could later be reversed. Yeah, question.
Sorry,
because once the utensils, 24 hours after it was used with the non-Jewish meat, the taste spoils. So the taste is not a positive plus. It doesn't add. The taste doesn't add. We would not be
this way with how it's set, etc.
Oh, we rely on this on everything.
Yeah.
Anytime that a pot is 24 hours late, then the taste that it gives does not create a problem. Great. Okay.
So, Rabbi, the non-kosher olive, I mean, oil is allowed to be cooked with kosher meat?
We're saying that the olive oil was made kosher.
I know, but non-kosher oil is allowed?
No.
What?
Can't cook non-kosher with kosher. We're saying that they had created a prohibition on olive oil because of the tastes of non-kosher going into the olive oil, but then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said that those tastes are not tastes that could create prohibitions, because those tastes don't add, they hurt the oil, so it's permissible.
Olive oil doesn't need a heksher, right?
Olive oil would not need a heksher, correct. So now, the Gemara asks, Vishem and Daniel Gazar, how could Rav say that Daniel had made a decree against olive oil? Vamar Bali, but Bali said, Avimi Nusa Mishmei de Rav, that Avimi Nusa said the name of Rav himself, Pitan, the bread of the non-Jews, Vishamnon, and the olive oil of the non-Jews, and Yenon, and the wine of the non-Jews, Uvno Seim, and the daughters of the non-Jews, Kulan, all of them, Mishmona Aser Davarhein, they are from the 18 decrees that we learned about back in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. There were 18 decrees that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agreed to. That means it's a decree of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So that's a problem. You're saying that Rav was saying it's a decree of Daniel. It's not a decree of Daniel. It's from Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rav himself said that. If you're going to say also Daniel Gazar, Rav says here that Daniel made this decree against the olive oil of the non-Jews, Velokibel. But the Jews did not accept the decree. And then Rav is saying also tell me to do Hillel v'Shammai. Later, the students of Hillel and Shammai got together with Gazar and they made a decree also on the olive oil, Velokibel. And then it was accepted. Im Cain, if so, Maya Sidisu de Rav. What's Rav saying? That Daniel made the decree. What's his testimony here that Daniel made the decree? If the decree wasn't accepted, it wasn't made. So it might say like this. Daniel Gazar Olive Be'ir. Daniel made a decree against olive oil. Correct. But what are Daniel's motivations? He wanted to prevent intermarriage. So as we said, intermarriage issues are in the city. We said beer, you can't have the beer of the Gentiles. We said if you take it out of their store into your own home, you could have it. Then you're not going to have socialization. So here too we're saying you can't have, we said in terms of the story that we began with, that they were out in the field. They thought, okay, out in the field you should be able to eat the bread of the non-Jews, because there you're not going to have parties with them. So Daniel, who was worried about intermarriage, he said no olive oil of the non-Jews in the city, because that's where you have lots of non-Jews around. But in the fields, you'd be able to have the oil of the non-Jews. Vasuinu, so then when Rav says that the students of Hillel and Shammai created the prohibition on olive oil, it was that they added the Gazra Filu Basad, that they made a prohibition even in the fields.
When you say olive oil of non-Jews, you're talking about a non-Jew made that olive oil?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the difference between olive oil and making the milk that the Gentile makes and wine?
It's a big milk.
Now, how come wine cannot be touched by a Gentile, but olive oil, milk?
Because with wine, it's not only, because with wine, it's not just the issue of intermarriage. Wine, it's also an issue of worshipping idols. And this is the nature of how they made the decree. With the milk, they said if a Jew supervises, it's allowed. With the olive oil, they made a decree, but then according to Rav, they reversed the decree. The Mishnah says they reversed it.
This is
a decree, yeah, it's a rabbinic law.
How many decrees do we have? Like 18 or something? How many?
No, many more.
Many more?
Just the 18 was in that.
It was 18 that the students of Hillel and Shammai had agreed to on that day, that there was no, we'll see, that those were decrees that can't be reversed because they were spread throughout the whole nation. Everybody agreed to them. So Gemara says, you know, the Mishnah says that there was a prohibition on the olive oil of the Gentiles, but Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi in his court reversed it. I don't understand. How'd they do that? How could he permit a ruling of a takata to Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel? It was an institution that we're saying now from Rav was made by Shammai, the students of Shammai and Hillel. How could Yehuda HaNasi, who's living 200 years after them, reverse such a ruling? That's not, don't we have a Mishnah? That a court cannot reverse a ruling of an earlier court unless the later court is both bigger in number and bigger in scholarship. It can't be bigger. Rav Yehuda HaNasi was not greater than Hillel and Shammai.
But Rabbi, excuse me, is it not always the case that a later court can never be greater in wisdom?
Not necessarily. If it's pretty close, right? You have one court and then 10 years later you could have another one. But if you're talking about hundreds of years, that's a whole different category. Oh, and furthermore, I'm a Rabbi Bar Barachan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Barachan says the name Rabbi Yochanan. Bakol Yachal of Atal Bezdin, Divri Bezdin Chavero. Right? If you have a greater court, a later court, which is greater, can reverse the ruling of an earlier court. But these 18 matters that both the students of Hillel and the students of Shammai agreed to, no one can reverse them. Chutz Mishmon Aser Davar. From these 18 things, nobody can reverse. Shafilu Yav Elio Bezdino. Even if Elio Anavi would come with his court, ain't Shomalo, we wouldn't listen to him to reverse them. Yeah. So therefore, how could Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi reverse the ruling about olive oil of the non-Jews if it was made by the students of Hillel and Shammai? So Amarav Masharshi, if Masharshi answered, Matam, what's the reason why you can't reverse the decrees? Those 18 decrees, Holu Pashat Yisur Barov Yisrael, because the great majority of the Jews accepted those decrees right when they were made. But oil was the exception. Shemen lo pashat isura barov Yisrael. The prohibition on the olive oil of the non-Jews was not accepted by Jews. They didn't fulfill it. They couldn't fulfill it. It was too hard for them. And since they never were fulfilling it from the beginning, it never took effect. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba said in Rav Yochanan, Yashra Rav Oseinu, our sages sat, Ubad Kual Shemen, and they did research, historical research about the decree against the olive oil of the Gentiles. What'd they find? Shalom Pashat Yisur Barov Yisrael, that the Jews had never been fulfilling it. It had never spread. And since it had never really spread throughout the majority of the Jewish nation, they were able to reverse it. And they were relying on the message, or the lesson of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and Reb Elazar, the son of Reb Tzadok, Shayomer, who used to say, and goes in Gzera Latzibur, Elim Kain Rovat Sibur Yecholim Lamudba. You only can make a decree if the majority of the community can withstand the decree, can fulfill the decree. So here, even though it was a lesser court, we're not as great as the students of Hillel and Shammai. And even though it was much later, it's one of the 18 matters, and the 18 matters are never to be reversed. This could be reversed because this decree had never spread. And since it never spread, it had never taken effect. It could be easily reversed. Rav Adar Bar Ahava said this is based on a pasuk. My cross. What pasuk teaches us this? The verse says like this: "Bimeira atem ne'arim." You are accepting upon yourselves the curse. With the curse, you are being cursed. Vosi atem kovim, and you are stealing from me. Hagoy kulo. The entirety of the nation. In other words, here you're making a curse not to derive benefit from things, and you're stealing because you're then deriving benefit from these things despite the curse. So what does it say here? It says not an individual who makes the curse. It says the nation as a whole, agoy kulo. That tells you, ik agoy kulo, if the entire nation has accepted a commitment upon itself, namely, the majority of the Jewish people are following this law, that means the nation has accepted a commitment in. So then you would be stealing from God to not listen to the commitment that you had all accepted, that you had once all fulfilled. Be low, but if the nation as a whole didn't accept the commitment because they were not all fulfilling it, lo, then the verse did not take effect to them. So that's the important principle, that whenever you want to make a rabbinic decree, it has to spread throughout the majority of the nation. So since the decree of the oil was so hard for people, they ate a lot of oil, it was hard for them not to eat the oil of the non-Jews. They never accepted it. It never had really spread. And since it had never really spread, even a lesser court could show up and take it off the books and take off the decree. But it's interesting, you still see that you needed a court to take it off. It didn't dissolve on its own. You needed a lesser court to take it off, but they could take it off because it had originally never fully spread. Now, Kim had a question.
Rabbi, how does this point work today with, say, OU is so prevalent and so...
Yeah, but they're not making decrees. They're just trying to figure out how to apply the rules that exist.
Right, but you can't reverse it the other way, meaning because now it's so prevalent, so everybody is taking the olive oil with the OU.
Right.
And so everybody is now using the olive oil with the Hechter.
Right, but it was permitted. In the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and his court, they permitted the olive oil of the non-Jews.
Right, so it would never go the other way. It would never go more stringent.
Somebody could always be strict on himself, but it's not going to become the law.
Not for the nation. And anyway, the majority are not kosher observant Jewish people. Right?
So I don't think they would count.
So those decrees shall be written on a stone and cannot be changed anymore?
The 18 decrees. Really? 17.
Even the majority of the people oppose it.
Yes, that's too late. Once it was accepted, it was accepted.
It's not a democracy.
So nobody could change those things. Yeah,
that's
it.
No democracy.
That's it.
The Rabbis, all the Gzerot of Rabbanan, even the Leon Nabi, Gzerot Geder that they did, even the Leon Nabi was not changed.
Those that spread fully.
Right. So Moshe Feinstein said that we can rely on the government for the milk.
Right.
Is that a change of a decree?
No, he's claiming that that's what the law allows. He's saying the law that said you couldn't have non-Jewish milk, it's clear from the Gemara, it's because they may put in other stuff in it. That's what the Gemara says. If you could permit it by testing it with cheese. The Gemara is clear that it's because they may put other things in it. Now, they're not putting other things in it, so that's fine. He wasn't the first one who said this. There were people before him who said this. He said it in America, but before him, the Prichadash, who lived in Amsterdam in the 1700s, he also said it. He said, in Amsterdam, you could have non-Jewish milk. In fact, there were even places where they used to eat the non-Jewish cheese, because they assumed in certain places in Italy and Germany... They ate non-Jewish cheese because, we saw yesterday there were 7 reasons why non-Jewish cheese is not allowed. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that there's only one reason accepted according to halacha, which is poison, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that their snakes put poison in. So we already saw that the Torah told us, and nowadays snakes are not putting poison into our stuff. We don't live among snakes. So in those places, they used to follow Rabbeinu Tam. They would even eat non-Jewish cheese. Like, I had relatives from Germany. They said, we buy non-Jewish cheese. We were scandalized by it, but that was their custom. That was an old tradition. We assume, practically, that there are 7 reasons why non-Jewish cheese is problematic. So for us, non-Jewish cheese is much worse than milk. But there were those who disagreed.
Well, in Europe, also where OU is also not so prevalent, there's kosher lists, right?
They're kosher lists, yeah.
They don't technically have a hechsher, I guess.
They don't have a hechsher.
What about the intermarriage thing?
Intermarriage? I don't think that was with cheese. Cheese wasn't the intermarriage issues. There were other issues. Why yeah, David had a question.
Even after he's married, there's no problem with intermarriage if you're already married and so forth.
Oh, so even being already married, there's still a worry, unfortunately, of intermarriage.
Non-monogamous times.
Okay, so let's continue in the Gemara. Let's go back to what had been mentioned. Gufa, we learned before. Amar Bali. Bali said, Amar Avimi Nusa Mishmei de Rav. Avimi Nusa, said the name of Rav. Pitan v'shamnan, the bread and the olive oil, Yenan and the wine, Ubnosein, and the daughters of the non-Jews, Kulan Mishmona Asar Davarhein. They're all from the 18 matters that the students of Ilan Shammai decreed. So one second, but no saying my, it's a rabbinic decree not to be with the girls of the non-Jews. It's a pasuk, don't marry non-Jewish women. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gazra, but no saying Nidos marry Susan. They made a decree that the non-Jewish girls, even when they're in their cribs, when they're little babies, have the status of nidos. They have the status of being totally impure, an avatoma. So the Jews shouldn't hang out with them. Gniva mishmei Rav amar, Gniva the son of Rav said, no, kulan mishum avodas kochavim gazru behen. These were worries all about idolatry, all about the wine. Because when Rav Acha, the son of Ada, said the name of Yitzchak, came, he said the name of Yitzchak, Gazrael pita mishum shamna. They said, don't eat the bread, because if you eat the bread, you might eat their olive oil, because you put the bread in olive oil. So my ul made the shemen mipas. One second, why is olive oil worse than bread? He said, don't eat the bread, because it'll get you to the olive oil. It's the same thing. No, so el piton v'shan mishum yena. They said, don't eat their bread and their olive oil, because that'll lead you to drinking their wine. Because if you can have the olive oil, and you'll have the olive oil with the bread, you'll also have the wine, which is also a liquid. Val yena, what's so terrible about the wine? Mishum b'no sayin, because then you'll hang out with their girls. Val b'no sayin, if you hang out with their girls, mishum davar acher, the girls will get you to go to the church, and you'll be doing idol worship with them. Val davar acher, mishum davar acher. And there's another decree about something else because of something else. Okay, we'll see what that is. So the Gemara now asks, how can you say that there's a decree to not hang out with their girls because that'll lead to idolatry? But no, say midoraisi, that we can't intermarry with the non-Jews as a pasuk. The Chassidus says, lo sischatin bam, don't marry with them. Ubitolo tikach livnecha. Don't take his daughter to your son. So Gemara says, Doraisa, the biblical pasuk, is only Sheva Umos. It's only the seven nations that were in the land of Israel. Avol sharov de kochavim, but all other non-Jews, all other idolaters, lo, it's not a biblical prohibition. For Asu Inu, it was only the students of Shammai and Hillel, when they were in that attic, that made the decree afilu disharov de kochavim and other non-Jewish women. So Gemara says, "Lo Reb Shimon ben Yochai to Amar." According to Reb Shimon ben Yochai, who says that the next pasuk that says, "Don't give your son to their daughters, or their daughter, don't take their daughter for your son," ki asir es bincha, because if you give your daughter to their son is going to take away your grandson me'acharai from serving me. The rabbis call him a siros, is to include all the non-Jews who will take away children from serving God. So Ma'ikul Ameymar, so then it's a biblical pasuk that's prohibiting all the non-Jewish nationalities. So why do we need a decree against non-Jewish women? Ella, so then you have to say like this. So Raisa Yishus Derechasnus. The biblical prohibition is to marry a non-Jewish person. To have, you know, the way of marriage, to live with a family. But let's say a person is just going to go have intercourse once with a non-Jewish woman, but not to be married to her. Biblically, that was allowed. For us, correct, that was allowed biblically. For us, it was the students of Hillel and Shammai that decreed that. Gazru afilu derech snus. They created the decree to prohibit even illicit, you know, one-time affairs. So the Gemara asks, "Nus nami bezdino shel shem gazu." What's that? This is way before Hillel and Shammai. This is in the days of Avram Avinu. They made such a decree. The court of shame. The Chassid, it says about Tamar. The Tamar, she was, you know, waiting. She was a Yavama, and she became pregnant. Really, she became pregnant from Yehuda, but Yehuda didn't know that. Vayomer Yehuda. Yehuda said, "Otziu v'tisareif, take her out and kill her." Why? Because she had had relations with a non-Jewish man. He figured. So you see that's in the days of shame that there was a problem of Jewish women being with non-Jewish men. Ella, so you have to say like this, Doraisa, the decree of the Bezdin of shame was Ovid Kochav Mabal Bas Yisra. For a non-Jewish man to be with a Jewish woman, even in Znus. Demashcha Basre, because he might pull this Jewish woman to be with him. Avu Yisrael Abal Avodis Kochavim, but for a Jewish man to be with a non-Jewish girl with Znus, lo, that was not in that decree of the Bezdin of Shame. Vasinu, that was the decree that was made by the students of Hillel and Shammai. Gazru, they made a decree, Afilu Yisrael Abal Avodis Kochavim. Even a Jewish man is not allowed to be with a single non-Jewish woman. So one second, Yisrael Abal Avodis Kochavim. That's not a decree. That's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's a biblical law, albeit not written in a verse, but it's a biblical tradition. Damar Mars, we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, Habol Aramis. Think about Zimri and Cosby. A man who's having intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, Kanaim, the zealots who love Judaism, Poganbo, they are allowed to go kill him. So, you see, so Raisa Befarhesia. No, that law that they can kill him is if he does it in public. Kemaisa Shahaya, like Zimri was in public with Cosby. Vasuinu, the students of Shammai and Hillel came, Gazra Filu Bitsin, they made a decree even in private. So Gemara says, 1 second, it's not the students of Hillel and Shammai made this decree. Bitsin Anami. Even in private, it's late, it's before them. It's Bezdino Shochashmonai Gazu. It's the Bezdin of the Hasmoneans. The Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Bezdin Shochashmonai Gazu. It was the court of the Hashmonaim that made a decree and said, Yisrael Abala, but it's Kochavim, a Jew has intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, Chayiv Mishum Najga. He has four problems here. It's treated as if he did four things wrong, as if he had intercourse with a Nida, because all the non-Jewish women are considered Nidas all the time. It's considered as if he had intercourse with a Shifcha, with a slave, with Gaia, as if he's marrying the non-Jews, which we saw as a prohibition, and it's as if he had intercourse with a married woman. So they made four decrees in order to prevent men from being with non-Jewish women. So you see, it's before the students of Hillel and Shammai. So Kiyasa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said it was even more. It was Najgaz. It wasn't that the fourth prohibition was Eshes Ish. The fourth prohibition was Zona, that she's treated like a prostitute. And the Torah says, there cannot be a prostitute amongst the children of Israel. So bottom line is, you see that this was a decree from the court of the Chashmonai. And it's the Gemara, Kigazu Bezdino Shel Chashmonai Bia. So the court of the Chashmonai made a decree against intercourse in private. Avul Yichud, but just to be alone, a man and a woman, with the man being Jewish and the woman being non-Jewish, just to be alone in a room. Lo, that had never been prohibited. That was what was prohibited by the students of Hillel and Shammai. Asu Inu, they came, the Gazra Filo Yichud. They created a prohibition even on being alone in a room. So, 1 second, Yichud Nami, the prohibitions of being alone in a room, that's also before them. Bezdino Shel David Gazu, that was made by the court of David. Tam Reviu, the Reviu said, Bo Sasha, when we had the terrible problem of Tamar and Amnon, where Amnon had Yichud with Tamar, and then he raped his sister. Gazra La Yichud, they made a decree against being alone. Amri, so again the answer, Hassam, there was Yichud Abbas Yisrael. The Bezdin of David made a decree not to be alone with a Jewish girl. Avu Yichud Oved Es Kochavim Lo, but to be alone with a non-Jewish woman, they had not made the decree. Vasu Inu, so the students of Hillel and Shammai came, Gaza, they made a decree, Afila Yichud Oved Es Kochavim, even Yichud with a non-Jewish girl. The Gemara says, 1 second, Yichud Abbas Yisrael Do Raisi, the problem of being alone with a Jewish girl alone in a room, that wasn't from David. That's biblical. What's the hint in the Torah to the concept of the prohibition of Yichud? Because the Torah says, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha, lest he seduce you, your brother, the son of your mother. Let's go and worship other gods. So 1 second, ben emesis is only the son of your mother that might seduce you. Ben avenomesis, the son of a father, won't seduce. Ella, so the point of the pasuk is to hint you the following. Then, misyachidim imo, a son can be alone with his mother. But that's the only prohibited relationship that people can be alone together with. All the other arayos of the Torah, people cannot be alone together with in a room. So you don't need the bezdin of David HaMelech to prohibit yichud. So the Gemara says, yichud o raisa de eshes ish. The biblical yichud is prohibiting being alone with a woman who's already married to somebody else. She's a prohibited woman. What did David add? Asa David v'gazur afilu ayichud de pnuya. David made a decree that you can't be alone even with a single girl. Asa tamid beishamay beisil v'gazur, and the students of beishamay beisil made a decree afilu ayichud overes kochavim, even to be alone with a Gentile woman. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakus Es Yisrael, Aficha Kirbalem Toro Mitzvah Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz L'Matzidko Yagdil Terav.